Good morning. My name is Jonathan, and I will be your conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the Augusta Resources Reject Hudbay's Unsolicited Offer webcast and conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw your question, please press the pound key. I will now turn the call over to Leticia Kornacki, Vice President of Investor Relations, who will introduce the speaker for today.
Thank you, Jonathan. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us today. I would like to highlight that there are presentation slides which accompany today's conference call and webcast. They can be found on our website at www.augustaresources.com. The analyses and reasons behind the board's recommendation are contained in the director circular, which will be filed on SEDAR and available on our website today. On this call, we will discuss the factors which form the basis of the board's recommendation to reject the Hudbay offer. If I could take a moment to direct you to slide two. This conference call, including the presentation and the question and answer session to follow, will contain forward-looking statements that involve a number of risks and uncertainties as specified on this slide, and with further cautionary language on slide three. Our speaker today is Gil Clausen, President and CEO, and I would like to now turn the call over to Gil.
Thanks, Leticia. Good morning, everyone, and thanks to our shareholders and the investment community who have joined us on the call today. Earlier this morning, we announced the completion of our board's review of Hudbay's unsolicited offer. The board has recommended that Augusta shareholders reject the offer and not tender their shares. I would ask you now to turn to slide four of the presentation. Hudbay is asking you to accept an offer that does not come close to offering full and fair value for Rosemont. It's quite frankly a grossly opportunistic bid, which they have launched at the last minute in order to deprive from our shareholders right before transformational events, events that our shareholders have been anticipating for years. Hudbay's offer has virtually no chance of success, as our shareholders holding over 35% of Augusta shares have indicated that they will not tender to the offer. We're confident that you will conclude that Hudbay's offer is a low-ball bid. Turning to slide five, there are an abundant number of reasons to reject this offer. Many of them are quite compelling, as you can see. Further, TD and Scotia have provided their opinions that the offer by Hudbay is financially inadequate. Based on these elements, the Augusta board recommends that shareholders reject the Hudbay offer and not tender their shares. Let me go over each of these points in a bit more detail. You could turn to slide six. The first reason is that the offer fails to recognize the strategic value of our Rosemont project. On slide seven, as you know, Augusta Resources Corporation is a base metals company focused on advancing the Rosemont Copper Project. This is an exciting and attractive opportunity. I mean, it's in the U.S., a stable political jurisdiction. It has low cash costs that has us well below the industry mean. And Rosemont also has a low CapEx intensity given the size and the copper output of the project. And we are like mere months away from completing the permitting. And that's a huge catalyst for us. Following that, we expect to complete our project financing package soon, sometime mid-year. And the project itself is very near term. We expect production in early 2017. And that's perfectly timed to when most analysts project copper supply tightness. On slide eight, all those factors make Rosemont widely recognized as one of the best, if not the best, near-term undeveloped copper projects globally.
There really isn't any comparable copper development asset in the world with Rosemont's size, cost structure, and jurisdiction. It's truly a rare asset. I should also note that we own 100% of Rosemont, which is subject to a 20% joint venture earn-in with a Korean consortium comprised of LG International and Corez. That earn-in will be completed once they contribute the balance of their U.S. $176 million earn-in payment, which will be used against construction costs for Rosemont. To date, they have about an 8% joint venture interest after a contribution of $70 million. In this presentation, we're going to use metrics that are on a 100% basis. Turning to slide 9, if you look at all the copper development projects and look at only those that are of significant size with over 5 billion pounds of copper, there are only 22 projects in the world. Now look to see which are construction ready. They're not owned by a producer, but they're in a company focused solely on development. There are only 3, and one is Rosemont. Rosemont has the lowest operating cost and lowest capex, and that's based on reserves only. Our reserve has been developed on a pit designed and optimized using a copper price of $1.88. Copper, of course, today is around $3.26. We have an additional 1.9 billion pounds in the M&I category and 1.1 billion pounds of inferred. If you look at slide 10, you'll see that Rosemont will be the third largest copper mine in the United States. We'll be producing 243 million pounds of copper a year and over 5 million pounds of moly over 21 years. This is significant, truly. Again, this is based on reserves only and doesn't consider resource conversion potential or the potential for increased throughput and capacity. Turning to slide 11, at the size that we are, with the capital cost that we have, we are a very low-cost mine to build relative to our annual production. That's because we're near existing infrastructure and we're not in challenging terrain. We don't need to build camps or highways. And our philosophy is not to break ground until detailed engineering work is at least 75% complete. We have an integrated project management team. We will be avoiding capital cost blowouts that have been so rampant in the industry. It's that experience. It's knowing when to get into construction and not trying to rush projects into the field that's going to differentiate us along with the infrastructure as a truly terrific project. We are already 40 to 80% complete on detailed engineering for major work packages, so the project is extremely advanced. On slide 12, this chart demonstrates clearly that we will be a low-cost producer. You know, we benefit from good ore grade, low power costs, it's softer ore, we have a low stripping ratio, less than 2-to-1, we have short haul distances in the pit, we have reasonable labor costs and access to skilled labor. These are just a few of the factors that make Rosemont the world-class asset that it is. On slide 13, as I touched upon earlier, despite already being the third largest potential operation in the United States, we even have the opportunity to get bigger. Our mine plan is based only on 2 producers, does not include resource conversion from our M&I or inferred resource, nor does this factor in any exploration upside. This could substantially extend our mine life and increase our throughput. Slide 14, moving on to the second reason to reject this offer, is that the timing of the hostile offer is highly opportunistic. Hudbay's offer is set to expire on March 19th. It's just weeks before we expect to receive our final permit and approval. Since we picked up Rosemont, we've advanced the project significantly. We now have about 7 of 8 permits required, exactly 7 of 8 permits required, which is one more to go, and that's the 404, which is expected just next quarter. The final EIS has been published, which is an enormous achievement after 6 long years of going through the NEPA process. The draft record of decision has been issued, and just the final ROD is to come, and we're already halfway done the last step to getting this complete. And then Hud Bay comes in at the last minute with a low-ball bid. On to slide 16. We are right now just on the cusp of unlocking significant value for our shareholders. With the receipt of our permits, we expect a significant re-rating. Our project financing is nearly complete, and these are transformational milestones. Hud Bay recognizes this. That's why they're moving now. We all know this chart well. It's the general value trend associated with the life cycle of a mining development asset. Perhaps it's, you know, maybe it's a little bit different for us as permitting is such a large portion of our pre-production timeline, but the concept is the same. This is an exciting time for Augusta. We are right now at that inflection point in terms of value creation for our shareholders. And we will protect that value for our shareholders. Turning to slide 17, this allows me to get a bit more granular on the permitting. Okay, last November, the final EIS was published by the U.S. Forest Service. As I mentioned, this is a big deal. This was the culmination of 6 years of analysis and hundreds of technical studies. This is what forms the basis of the ROD, the Record of Decision, and it's required to be completed before the 404 permit from the Army Corps of Engineers can be issued. And those are the last two items that remain outstanding for Rosemont. The draft ROD was published in December, and now it's in a 90 to 120-day objection and review process. The objection period concluded just last week on February the 14th, and we're now in the final 45-day review period. This is a statutory time frame, and outside of the one-time option to extend the review period by 30 days, this time frame can't be prolonged. The objection period started on January the 1st, and 120 days later would bring us to the end of April. The 404 permit is expected to be issued around the same time. The public comment periods are done, and it's in the drafting phase. So truly, as you can see, we are just months from a catalyst that our patient, loyal, and long-term shareholders have been waiting for. On to slide 18. And, you know, looking at even slightly more longer term, after permitting, project financing and construction. Production is only a few years away. Once we are further de-risked, using the typical discount rate of a base metals producer of 8%, as we move towards that de-risking through this next phase of permitting, project financing, and construction, we expect we would move up our valuation considerably. Slide 19. Moving on to the third reason to reject Hud Bay's offer, not only is the Hud Bay offer opportunistic in terms of timing and grossly undervaluing Rosemont, but the implied value is significantly below the implied multiples of precedent transactions. Looking at the multiples paid in the past for other base metal developers is illustrated on slide 20. If you look at this, Hud Bay's offer implies a multiple of 0.5 times. That's well below the average multiple of 0.8 times for precedent transactions. Hud Bay even paid 0.9 times for Norsemont in 2010, and Rosemont is clearly a superior project in our view to Hud Bay's Constanzia. And moving on to the next slide, the next reason to reject Hud Bay's offer is because this combination is dilutive to our shareholders. Slide 22 clearly illustrates this. Hudbay's offer gives our shareholders only 18% of the combined company, even though we're contributing 26% of the combined company's net asset value. A third of the copper production when operating, and 40% of the copper reserves. Rosemont provides Hudbay with substantially more than what our shareholders get in return. What they do get in return is more risk, more geopolitical risk, more project execution risk, and more financing risk. Our shareholders are not being adequately compensated for these risks associated with Hudbay shares and assets. I'll get into that in more detail in a minute. Moving on to the next slide, the fifth reason to reject Hudbay offer. The market views the Hudbay offer as inadequate, and it's evident. Turn to slide 24. Looking at how our share prices perform versus Hudbay, you can see that an exchange ratio of 0.315 currently implies a value of about 280 a share, and we are trading at 358. That represents a 22% discount to our current stock price. The spread between their offer and our trading price has been present and growing since the announcement. Already, shareholders of Augusta, including directors and officers holding over 33% of the shares, have said they do not intend to tender shares to Hudbay's hostile offer. The market has clearly spoken that the Hudbay offer undervalues Augusta, and their bid has virtually no chance of success. Not surprisingly, on page 25, analysts confirm this. CIBC, the offer undervalues Augusta. Jennings, shareholders would be giving up significant value. Scotia, Rosemont, best copper asset. TD, Hudbay, little chance of success. This is further reinforced by comparing the consensus target price of Augusta at 436 versus the implied offer of 276. That's a 36% discount. On slide 26, you can see point number 6, which is our sixth reason. Not just that our shareholders are not being fairly compensated for their Augusta shares, but they are not being adequately compensated for the risks and uncertainties inherent in Hudbay shares with this all-share deal proposed by Hudbay. Slide 27. Our shareholders value and place importance on an asset in the U.S. I think that's quite evident. It's a jurisdiction of political stability. There are few large undeveloped copper assets, low-risk jurisdictions, as high quality as Rosemont. That's a fact. Hudbay's largest project, which represents the largest portion of their value, is in Peru. That's a country with far more geopolitical risk. There is significant risk due to recent unrest related to mining operations in that country. And these are real issues. On that note, moving to the next slide, slide 28, Castagna is still not done. So risk remains on execution and cost. There's still a lot of work to be done, and it's only a little over 50% complete, and only 60% of the capital has been spent. The capital cost since acquisition has already increased about 85% from $900 million to $1.7 billion, and there is still exposure for further creep, which would constrain Hudbay's balance sheet. And the inability to manage costs isn't just specific to Constancia. This was an issue at Lalor, too. The cost of completing the concentrator at Lalor increased significantly since the initial estimate. Further, their team, which has no experience in open pit development in the USA, is already focused on three projects: Danzia, Lalor, and Reef. any delays or capital increases would impact the time for Rosemont to come online, and that would reduce value. Hudbay's management team has already demonstrated their weak project execution with the issues at Constancia and Lala. Moody's downgraded Hudbay's debt rating because they recognize these risks. We, on the other hand, have an unbelievable team in place, experts in all fields, permitting, project financing, project engineering, and project execution. Our team is second to none. We are set to advance Rosemont through all the phases. We have a team of competent and seasoned professionals that are experts in open pit mines in the United States, open pit development, construction, and operations. This offer ascribes absolutely zero value to that expertise that comes along with an outstanding asset. Hudbay's management says they can internally fund Rosemont. Let's look at slide 29. Well, I mean, they said they could do that with Constancia too when they bought it. Did they? Could they? No, they could not. Two streaming deals, three debt deals later, a dilutive equity financing, and they are considering an offtake credit facility to further increase liquidity. What would happen to Rosemont? Slide 30, another reason to reject the Hudbay offer, because one of the only track records they do have is of underperformance. So next page. So with more risk, is there more return? I think this slide says it all. No. Since current management joined Hudbay, Hudbay has underperformed the peer group. Or not even over that timeline, 3 years, even 1 year, it's been consistent underperformance. With that, I'll conclude on slide 31. For all of these compelling reasons, and supported by the opinions from Scotia and TD that state that this offer is inadequate, the board rejects this offer. We'll focus our efforts on enhancing shareholder value. There is virtually no chance of success with directors, officers, and shareholders of Augusta holding more than 33% of Augusta's common shares already stating that they will not tender their shares to this solicited offer. Augusta's board is therefore aggressively pursuing numerous other value-maximizing alternatives. An active process is underway, and discussions are ongoing with third parties. Parties have signed confidentiality agreements and are reviewing the materials in our data room. Rosemont is a high-quality, world-class asset. We will not let Hudbay steal this asset with this low-ball bid. And with that, I'd like to open up the call for questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star, then the number 1 on your telephone keypad. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. And your first question comes from the line of Peter Campbell with Jennings Capital. Your line is open.
Thank you very much, Gil, for taking my call this morning. I have a couple of questions. On the press release this morning, you mentioned the 33% of shareholders represented by management board and four additional shareholders. Are these shares subject to a like lock-up agreement?
Well, I guess the answer to that question is that at this stage we really have seen no need to obtain a formal lockup agreement. The officers and directors unanimously will not tender their shares. So the remainder of the shareholders have indicated to us directly that they will not tender of that group. So I think for the time being, that's certainly good enough for us, Peter.
Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Just wanted some clarity on that. And then the second question I have is that the offer as is appears to be stymied, with mathematically stymied in any ways here. So why the need now to pursue what you're calling value maximizing alternatives, and what might these value maximizing alternatives be?
Well, I think that we've had this process thrust upon us, the board of directors is compelled to evaluate a broad range of strategic transactions in order to identify other options that could be in the best interest of Augusta shareholders. We think there are many ways, including our process to seek superior alternatives and to continue to execute our current strategy. And really our focus is on and still remains to complete this permitting process and advance the project on the timeline and according to our plans that exist today. So, I think in all those activities will continue to advance Augusta and de-risk this project. And I don't see any reason why there would be any defocusing from the management team, and certainly those at Rosemont.
Okay, Gil, thank you very much. Those are all the questions I have this morning.
Thanks, Peter.
Your next question comes from the line of Gary Lampard with Canaccord. Your line is open.
Good morning, Gil. I've got a couple of questions on the permitting. The first one, a fairly simple one. What is the, the start date for that 90 to 120 day period for the final record of decision?
Hey, Gary, that's January the 1st of this year. So we're in the second 45-day phase. And then there's one opportunity after the full 90 days. So there's the objection and comment period. And then there's the resolution phase. And we're in that resolution phase now. And that's 45 days for the objection and comment period, 45 days for the resolution. And then the Forest Service can have one extension of 30 days. So that in fact, takes you to around the end of April.
Okay, thank you. And the second one is the Army Corps of Engineers permit. Is there a statutory timeline here as well? I was under the impression that they had 30 to 60 days, but it seems that that's not true. So could you run through what their requirements are in terms of meeting any specific timeline?
Well, in terms of the 404 permitting process, there's a timeline that comes into effect once they deliver the draft 404 permit. Our expectation is that draft 404 permit will be available. The government does an internal review of that 404 permit. There's a 15-day review period, and that's with participation of the EPA to review that locally with the Army Corps of Engineers. Once that draft has been issued, then you're on a statutory time frame to get it complete. And we'll get some more color and guidance on that, I think, at the delivery of the draft, which we're expecting to see sometime in late March, I would expect.
Okay, thanks, Gil. So I can take from that, though, that while you're expecting it in late March, there is no statutory timeline for the Army Corps to deliver that draft.
The draft is actually well advanced. One of the things that have been working on, they've been working on, is the analysis and of the various mitigation plans that we have submitted, and the calculation of the mitigation credits per acre of impact. That process is concluding here right now. The impacts to the potential waters of the U.S. are probably approximately 40 acres of direct impact and 28 acres of indirect impact. And Rosemont is required, therefore, to secure about 68 or 70 credits to mitigate impacts of waters of the U.S. These are really dry fills, which is really a fill permit on dry riparian. So we believe we have more than sufficient credits in our mitigation proposals. We actually calculate in the range of 200 to 260 credits in our proposals to the Army Corps of Engineers. So they have to select the appropriate mitigation lands that provide sufficient credits to meet about 70 credits for mitigation. So
once that's done and those calculations are complete, which we expect imminently, they can finish writing that permit, and that's really all there's left to do in that process.
Okay, thank you. And just a final question: would you be able to give us an idea of how many confidentiality agreements you've signed to date?
Well, it's an active process, and it is underway. We have been approached, and our financial advisors have initiated contact with a number of third parties. I can't really provide any specific details at this time, but we have several confidentiality agreements that we've entered into. So I would expect that with the quality of this asset, with the location of this asset, and the fact that we've been kicked off into this process relatively quickly now, I think the response has been very interesting, to say the least.
Okay, that's all from me. Thanks very much, Bill.
And again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, that's star one on your telephone keypad. And again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your telephone keypad. And there are currently no further questions at this time. I will now turn the call back over to the presenter.
Well, I just want to take this opportunity to thank you all this morning for listening in on this conference call. And we just like to conclude by very, very briefly by stating that we believe, again, that this is a low-ball offer and that the shareholders of Augusta should reject this bid, and that we are going to continue to be working very, very hard to continue to create that value by de-risking this Rosemont project, and we think that that is extremely near term. And I want to thank you all for your patience and support.
And ladies and gentlemen, this concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect.